Thank you, Lord. We praise you and we glorify you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome night because we're going to do what you want us to do. We're going to be led by your Spirit, God. Lord, I thank you for the awesome gift that you've given us called prayer. That's one of the most dynamic, strongest, authoritarian way of getting our messages across to you. And not only that, to change the very world that we live in by our prayers. And I praise you for it, Father, and I glorify you, and I thank you, Father. You have created us in your image. And when we are in your image and we know that you're in us and we are in you, that what we speak about and pray about is going to be answered. And we thank you so much for that, Father, in the name that's above all names. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hang on, let me turn that thing off. Okay. And that's the truth. Hey, Claire. That's the truth. Okay. Does anybody have any prayer requests? Let me just say something here. I've been doing a little bit of studying on prayer and the effects of prayer and what happens even in the Word when prayer is praying. And a lot of things happen. Everything that you want to happen according to the Word of God will happen if you pray and believe. And if you get a group of people together, you can change nations. You can change everything around you when you pray and believe. And anyway, I've been praying some things today that I know is going to come to pass. When you pray for your family, you believe and you know and you start praising God because you know that your prayers are going to be answered. They're coming in. Glory to God. They're coming in. It makes no difference what they think and what anybody else thinks because your prayers are answered. Because he says, when you pray and you believe what you have prayed, you shall receive. You're going to get it. And so by that, tonight I want all of us to think and meditate on what everybody wants prayer about. Because we're going to see miracles tonight and I want us to document it. Because I want to document every prayer that's answered. And I believe that every prayer that is spoken in the will of God will be answered. And everything that's in the will of God will be answered. I'm not talking about things for your flesh gratification or anything like that. I'm talking about spiritual things. Will be answered. So does anybody agree with me? Amen. Me too. I agree with me because I've seen it happen too many times. Even on this outreach right here. Okay, so we'll just open up for prayers. Anybody got a prayer request? That's some faith. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I'm going to give a testimony of a prayer that's already answered, but I also want to go further with it. Okay. Let me just preface it with this. Sometimes the days run together. I know I had a really good time with the Lord in praying and believing and declaring and praising the Lord on Sunday. And I did this morning too. And I was praying a lot for my family, especially my mom. And Julie and I were talking last night about, you know, my mom, and she was supposed to have a neck surgery on the first. And And I've been, and I think, I know we've prayed about it here, that somehow I pray, Lord, however that looks, I pray that my mom doesn't have this surgery, whether she cancels it herself or however that looks. Well, this afternoon, she called me and I admit, missed the call, and I called her back, and she told me that the insurance company canceled the surgery because she hadn't had any formal therapy in the past 6 months. And my thought, that must mean that, you know, they didn't try therapy as a means first, you know, or whatever. And she was on quick and off with me. And I just, you know, just told her I loved her. And she was, I could tell she was disappointed. She was going to call the doctor and see, or the surgeon and see, if there was anything he could do about it or whatever. I don't know. But, so that's an answer to prayer. I was just like, praise you, Lord. And I texted my sister and told her, and she says, she's like, woohoo, thank you, Jesus. She says, and then she says, I believe that, you know, the Lord's protecting her. And I said, I do too. You know, I just don't feel good with her getting all these surgeries. And, so I, my prayer for my mom is that she will just drop the idea of getting all these surgeries and have the faith to believe the Lord. And however the Lord plays that out, you know, I thank you, Lord, for giving my mom the gift of faith. And if you choose to use me to speak to her, I just ask you to open the door wide open and give me your words to say, Lord, and that I know that I'm supposed to say something to her, Lord, and that would help her with her faith, increase her faith or whatever it is, Lord. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for doing that for my mom, and that you just put her in the rest, knowing, Father, that you are in control and that you are ultimately are her and my dad's caregiver, that you are the one that can care for them better than anybody else. And you have miraculous ways of doing it. You have your healing power through the cross of Jesus. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, I believe it. Lord, we do. We praise you, Father, for giving her mom the truth that she can trust what the word says. And it says, when you use the name of Jesus, you shall have it. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Mrs. Mom.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Woohoo.
All right. Okay, let's see. Go ahead, Lana or Fia.
Hey, everybody.
Patty.
Sorry, I had to finish chewing here. I was in the middle of my... I have a prayer request. So this morning in the prayer meeting, I confessed that I had been focusing on the bad report regarding my family, and that the Lord had really put it onto me, onto my heart, to start reporting the good report. And so this afternoon, I had a chance to talk to my sister, Jennifer, who lives out in Oklahoma. And we had a pleasant chat. And I haven't talked to her in months. And she mentioned that she wants to move to Tennessee. And she wants to move to Tennessee because this is where our family is. While her husband is open to the idea, he says that he wants to have a very strong word from the Lord before he does it. And they both want to have a dream. He wants to have a dream and she wants to have a dream where they are directed to move or they dream about moving to Tennessee. And I'd like to pray about that. I would like for the Lord to bring them to Tennessee. They go to the church that I came out of, the Pentecostal Conservative Church. So they're very religious, but I know they have desires to do the right thing, even if they are misled. And I'm believing that the Lord is working in their lives, even if it is different from how he worked in me. So, Father God, I lift up Jen and Joey to you. Thank you so much for them and their precious family and that they are precious in your eyes, Father God. And I thank you, Father God, for this desire that you're putting into their heart to come to Tennessee, Father God. It would be lovely to have them here. It would also be very lovely to have them here since it's closer than Oklahoma. So, Father God, I know that you do not live in time, and nor are you limited by the type of requests that we make. And so, Father God, I thank you for hearing Jen and Joey's requests, that you show them and you show them specifically that you want them in Tennessee and that you make it possible. Jen had been hoping that this happens before the end of the year. And Father God, the more I speak these words aloud, the more I'm convinced, Father God, that you have a plan here. And so I thank you for fulfilling it. I thank you for giving them those dreams. And I thank you for moving them to Tennessee sooner than Joey expected. He doesn't think it's possible to happen before the new year. But Father God, we claim that it is, everything's possible for you and that you will do it for them. And Father God, I also bring to you, Father God, my last remaining sister in out of state, Natalia, and her husband, Paul. And I ask that you do the same in their life, Father God. Make a move on them and uproot them from their life in Minnesota and bring them here to Tennessee as well, Father God. And bring them to family, Father God. Change their minds, change their hearts, and bring them here quickly, Father God. Because things are not looking so great. And I thank you for working a mighty work of salvation in their household as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Father, we just thank you for preparing them when you bring them to receive the truth of the gospel, spiritually speaking. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Prepare their hearts, Lord, to want nothing but you, Lord. And we thank you for doing that. And Lord, we believe with Lana that they're going to be here before the first of the year, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Two praise reports to share. We had prayed for Jennifer here locally because she was overdue by quite a few days with her last baby, little Leo, that was born at the end of September. And the night we prayed, she went to the hospital she told me today she had a natural labor with no pharmacia. And she said it was one of the best things she's experienced. And she was so happy to have gone into labor the day before they planned to induce her. So that was awesome to know, because by faith, I was standing on that. I knew she had her baby. I just didn't know how it had happened. And I was believing that it had happened naturally. And today she confirmed it for me. So praise the Lord. And with the sisters' prayer meeting many months ago, I had prayed about my hair loss after having little Gabe. And I was sharing last night at the local meeting that every time I would shower my hair and I'd run my hands through it, I would rebuke the bad report that it felt really thin. Believe it or not, it felt thin, even though it looks like I have a lot. And the other night I put my hair up very high on my head in a tight bun. And I noticed that I had a lot of wacky hair sticking out on all sides of my head. And I started brushing it downward. And by the time I stopped, I had a lot of hair crowning my face, and it just hit me that it was all new growth and that it had been hiding near my scalp because it's still short. It's about 6 inches long, so I don't feel it when I run my hands through my ponytail, but it had all been hiding in the top of my head. And the Lord had been giving me grace all this time to rebuke the bad report about my hair loss and it's not growing back fast enough. And he showed me that it was there. It was just hiding. And I just had to look. So I am so grateful and praising the Lord that all my hair is coming back and not a hair is lost. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for DNA restoration. All right. Geneva, go ahead. I think that's you.
Yeah, that's awesome, Lana. I'm actually believing for the same thing. So that is, as far as the hair goes, that is a confirmation for me too. Cause they do try to speak that evil report. Anyways, so thank you, Lord, for our hair. But I just wanted to, ask for prayer tomorrow. Me and Morgan are, and the baby are going back to Kentucky for Thanksgiving. And then my mom is actually going to come up and stay with us for a week after. So I just want to pray that it's, you know, safe, and we have to drive all the way. We're driving back down here with my mom. So I just want to pray that, it's good travels and that the baby does good on the plane, because, she's been teething. She's getting like four teeth all at the same time up top, and it's been a trial, but I mean, I've just been thanking the Lord through it. But it has, me and Morgan are kind of exhausted right now. But anyways, I just thank the Lord that she is not in pain, in Jesus' name. And I just keep speaking that and praying that over her. But anyways, if y'all just agree with me in prayer. Lord, thank you, Father, for keeping us safe when we travel tomorrow. Thank you, God, for blessing the hands, Father, that fly this plane, which, Lord, ultimately it's you. Jesus, you're in control of all. And, Lord, just help Micah, God, help her to be calm and let her be at peace and let her be still. And, if at all possible, if there not be very many people on this plane. And Lord, I just thank you, God, that you're going to keep us safe, and it's going to be a good time with family, and that everyone here has a good Thanksgiving with family and good fellowship, and able to talk about all the good things that you've done for us, Father. And Lord, I just also want to pray that when my mom comes down, that everything's good, Lord, and that when she walks into this house, any demons, any spirits has to go in the name of Jesus. And they cannot step foot in here and try to, no plague can come nigh thy tent. And, spirits, anything of that have to be gone in Jesus' name. Cause this is the Lord's house. And I just thank you, God, that mom is going to be happy and she's going to enjoy the time that she has with her granddaughter, and that she's going to be helped to me. And, that Father, I'm going to be able to be relaxed and be at peace, and we're not going to have to go out and spend money and do things in order to have fun. We can just stay here, stay put, and be content and have a good time. And I just thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. And thank you for all my brothers and sisters, Lord, and just bless them all. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. We agree with Geneva that when her mom comes down, it's going to be the best time she's ever had with her. In the name of Jesus, because you're involved in it. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Not only that Micah's going to have a great time going there and coming back, and the family's going to be safe, and it's going to be a restful, peaceful time. And they're going to have a happy time with the family out of there, even in Kentucky, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. I believe it.
Amen. Thank you. That was good. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, Samuel, or Tia, or David.
Hi, everyone. Blessings always. Wanted a prayer request for how to respond to people when they ask and talk about worldly things. Just to confess God to men and stand on the gospel through, because that's our lives that we're trying to live. If you want to be in agreement with me, and this is also for everyone. This is our desire, that we don't get caught up with vain talk, and just really just stand on the word, because his word is true, and it's life. So we want to be that, responding to everyone with that. So Almighty Father, we come into your presence. We ask for this wonderful gift that you speak through us with your Holy Spirit. That you cast down all these worldly and vain talk. Now we just go boldly with your word and your truth, and speak it against all the things the enemy is trying to come up against. Just cast it all down and speak life and truth through all things, standing on your word, that even the scripture to come through and bring everyone to the truth through our example of the life of Christ. We speak this for everyone in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. Thank you for the Lord Jesus, that he is there before us and has done it all and conquered it all. Thank you for mighty Father God for this wonderful, great ambassador that we're trying to be for you and your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, teach us to do these things in love and patience. And we praise you for that, Father, because love is what you were made of. And that's what we want to be made of, is the love of Christ. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to allow us to live like you lived, in as a servant, in humble humility, but sticking with the word. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Lord of God. Awesome. Thank you, Samuel. Please. All right. Yes, Claire.
I'm busy printing at the same time, and I don't want you to hear the weirdness, but I'm also not confident that if I press pause, it's going to do what I needed to do afterwards. So if you all agree with me that the printer is just going to carry right on once I've stopped speaking, that'll be just great. I have a praise report, which is a weird one, but this is how good the Lord is, right? So Daniel is at the point where he can read, but he can't read chapter books. So there's this little, like, little space between reading little sentences and then, like, just taking a book and going to his room and reading. And I never really had that with the girls. I think maybe, I don't know, it was just different, and that's fine. I don't need to compare him. So we're in this little space, and I'm like, oh, Lord, I just need, like, little books, Lord, like, just something that this kid can be drawn to. I would like it to be a biblical book, and Lord, I would like it to be free. Like, that was my prayer. And I actually even had a mini little meeting with Rian about this the other night, and I said to him, this is the challenge I have, is that it's going to take, and in my head, I'm like, it's probably going to take around 12 weeks. Like, that was in my head. Now, I get a lot of homeschool information that comes into my email, but I never really read it because who's got the time, and I don't care, really. But then yesterday, there's this email that comes through of this lady who's starting some new blog or whatever. And I'm like, okay. So I clicked on it. And there are 12 books for free that I can print at home with the lesson plans that are written in language that little ones can understand. But she's basically redoing 12 Bible stories from Genesis 1. To, I think, Samuel or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, that'll do it. Like, that is pretty much exactly what I prayed for. And I didn't have to go and do praise anything. And he's going to get his Bible in, and he's going to learn memory verses. And, you know, that for me is more important, but he needs both of those things. And so I was just like, I was so excited about that yesterday. And this is a lot of work for me to do, like, to print these things out, but who cares? Like, it's free and it's Bible based, and it's just, I'm just, like, that he would even give me the wisdom to pray for what I need, and he knows it's coming, right? Like, he's just so good. I love the Lord. I love living for the Lord. I love schooling my children for the Lord. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the little things and the big things. Thank you, Father. That is awesome. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Joe.
Hi, everybody. Just one agreement with prayer with me, please. Quite a few months now, I haven't got any headaches or something. Now, all of a sudden, I got two nights in a row, I got headaches, and I just want to pray about it. Thank you, Lord, for the time we have as family. Thank you that we have authority in prayer. We're not under the curse. Come on. They will take your headache. pack your bag and leave me in Jesus' name. Thank you for agreement that we can have in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We believe with Joe that headache is gone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. You cannot stay. He's not under the curse, and bless God, you got to go. You have gone. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
All right, Benjamin.
Well, I'll ask for agreement and prayer, and I have some news. I guess I want to tell all y'all. I've been seeing someone named Karen. We're dating, I guess. she has a stone in her bladder, and she says she's having a surgery on Thursday. And yesterday, after you sent out that email, Michael, I was like, I gotta go pray over her right now. And that's what I did last night. And we prayed on it. And I was just wondering if we could all just join in prayer and do it again, because I feel like it would encourage her even more, because she knows about you guys. And her mom encourages her a lot, that she says she doesn't even need to go to the surgery. And I agreed with her with that, as well. I think she's going to the surgery because she's going to get 2 weeks off work. That's probably mostly the reason why she's going. But anyways, I'd like to pray for this again. Dear God, I thank you for giving me this prayer to come to you for a healing for Karen. She believes in healing, and she believes that you work your way into her. Give her the confidence and the faith to actually believe that she doesn't need to be in that surgery, and the doctors ain't going to find nothing in there because we've already prayed for this. And we all come into an agreement with that. And I thank you, Lord, for doing this for us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. We command that stone to leave her right now in the name of Jesus. You be gone in Jesus from her body right now in the name of Jesus. You dissolve and go wherever y'all go. In Jesus' name, that spirit of infirmity come off of her. And Lord, we thank you that she knows that it's done and that she'll get another, whatever they call it, checkup to find out if it's gone. Thank you, Father. In Jesus'
name. Amen.
Y'all believe that? What's her name, Karen?
Karen.
Okay, Karen, you're healed, girl. Amen. Be blessed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Let me write that down. Anybody else? Yes, Marilyn.
Well, I got a little praise report here. I was so excited and so thankful, and I've been praying for my family a lot, praying for the Lord to bring them into the kingdom. I have an older sister that, we don't talk often, but I called her today, and she's Methodist. She's been in the Methodist church for 50 years. And before that, we were in another dead denomination that we grew up in. So, but anyway, when we were talking today, and I had prayed before I called her, she told me that they had done a study in her Sunday school about the Holy Spirit. And I was just, and she kind of wanted to talk to me about that, which really just blessed me. From some of the things she was saying, I could tell, you know, some of the doctrine's not quite right, but, you know, you don't have to correct everybody, you know, when they're just learning to walk. And, but anyway, the Lord really opened a door there. I was able to give her the testimony about how I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit 30 years ago. And I told her, you know, it's like being born again. And, you know, we had a really good talk. It's probably the best talk we've ever had. And she's seen a lot of her, her friends die, and I think a lot of them have died because of the vaccine. They're just keeling over left and right. And, you know, the very sad thing is she, you know, has had all those vaccines too. I'm thankful nobody in my family has ever asked me if I've been vaccinated because, you know, I haven't. But we got to have a good talk, and I was able to tell her that I said, you know, Kathy, the most important thing is that your heart is right with the Lord. I said, you know, if our hearts are right with the Lord, we have eternity to be together in heaven. And, you know, it doesn't matter if we never see each other again here on earth. We will always be together if our hearts are right. And, you know, she was able to receive that and be in agreement with it. And, but anyway, I just want to thank the Lord, because I know we all know this. When the Holy Spirit opens the door, it's very easy to talk to people. And I'm thankful that all the other times that, you know, I do talk to her and I haven't really said much. I mean, they know we're a part of UBM and active here, and that our life is very different than theirs. But I'm glad I haven't tried to push the door open before, because today the Lord, Holy Spirit, just opened the door open, and I was really able to connect with her on a spiritual level like I never have. And so I just want to thank the Lord for that. And it just, we got to talk about revival, and I'm just believing the Lord's doing a good work in my sister. So praise the Lord. That's all.
Praise God. Lord, we thank you for bringing her in, bringing Kathy in all the way with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that thing of all things is speaking in tongues. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. We know she's going to, because she wants to do whatever God wants her to do. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anyone else? I'm going to pose a question to you. I want you to think of something that we all can believe for and pray for it and continually believe for it and thank God and praise God for that thing. Something that would be so blatant that everybody would know that you answer prayers, Lord, out of this fellowship. It's going to tax you. It's going to require sacrifice of your praise and your prayers. But I want you to think of what it is. And before the end of the night show, we'll ask and see what we come up with. Do you understand what I'm saying? I want to come up with something that we can pray for that would be dramatic change in whatever, physical, governmental, I don't know, whatever, spiritually, in this fellowship. And that we can trust that God is going to do, regardless of what we see, hear, smell, taste, or feel. Does that make sense? Shake your head, yeah. Well, no. Okay. Good deal. Good deal. All right. Well, anybody else before? I remember that. We'll do this the last half hour, last 15 minutes of it, maybe half hour. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to comment on? Yes, Benjamin.
So it's more just a question, really. It's just, when would we know to be weak to the weak, but then when would we know to, like, actually correct them? A believer, obviously.
That's a good question. It depends on the person you're talking to, of course. Give me a for instance. You talking about, like, with your girlfriend?
Well, I'll give an example. She has a younger brother. He's 19 years old. And he doesn't believe. Well, I don't know. I'm on the fence with him. He says that he doesn't go to church. That's the kind of thing. He doesn't believe. He's not a believer. I'll say that. And Karen was like, you should go to church. You should go to church. And then to the point where it's kind of like persuading him and kind of like not forcing him, but kind of like putting him in the corner. And then I had to tell her, like, you can't do that. Would that be overstepping my bounds, saying that? Or
No, I don't think so. What I would tell her, say, look, you can't force your brother to come into the kingdom. You can't. You can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. Okay? But you can pray for him and believe for him and then watch God do the miracle. And just leave him alone. Break the power of Satan off of him that's keeping him from coming to him. And then pray that God would grant repentance to him. And then declare and decree him into the kingdom. And from that point on, thank God for bringing him. And watch what happens. It'll happen quickly. Amen. Yeah, Patrick.
I would, one thing it's good to keep in mind. I think that a lot of people, whether they know it or not, are rejecting the established Christian, organized Christianity that's in the world today. You know, we call it the apostasy, obviously. And, you know, many of us came through that path and rejected it through a long process of time. But there's a lot of people that see the trappings of that system. They see the belief in a God that does not get results, shall we say. And they, I believe, inwardly have rejected that, or that's a repulsive Jesus. And I believe that you know, people want to see the real thing. You know, they want, you know, obviously, if God is worth giving your life to, you want to make sure that you're giving your life to the right God. You know, you're believing in the right thing. So I think, just, I mean, just to me, I think it's important. I know, like, some people think that's the silver bullet is to get people in church, but I'm not so sure that it's not better to just get them in the Word, in the Bible, and let God do the rest from there. But anyway, that's kind of my thoughts.
Amen. I believe it. Yeah, church is not the answer, but that's where we all started out, McGinley. Yeah, go ahead, Lana or Fia.
I have a continuation or like a question to your comment from earlier about, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. I was raised with this understanding that if you lead a horse to water and tie him down over there, he'll eventually drink. Or, you know, if you lead him, if you lead him to the water often enough, he'll eventually drink, you know?
When he wants to.
That's true. I guess you've answered my question because I've heard that one so many times and it's like, well, how do you respond to that?
Yeah, but the horse is not going to drink that water until he wants to. You may tie him up there until he gets thirsty and want to drink, but he's not going to drink that water until you can even hold his face underwater.
I guess for some people, like my parents, it's enough for them to keep leading, keep leading, keep leading. And then one day when the horse drinks, they'll be like, aha, it worked. But that's between them and the Lord, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Best thing that I tell you what I found is praying is the quickest way to get them in, because the Lord told us that's what, you know, just believe. They'll do it. Go ahead, Julie.
Hey, Ben, did you ever share with Karen your own testimony about how you came, you know, into?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So she knows how what the Lord did for you. So nobody drug you to church.
No.
Like that.
I was raised at a young age in a Christian family, as you know, my dad. And that's a whole story in itself. Basically, I felt, you know, Jesus saves sinners. And then he came to me in a dream, March 21st, 2021. And, you know, got me to get a Bible. And I told my dad, he said, hallelujah. We prayed for you last night. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Is she excited to hear your testimony? Did it like go wow?
Oh yeah.
In a Christian home too? Was she had a brother raised in a Christian home?
Yeah. She was raised in Colombia. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I just would like what everyone's saying, just pray, encourage her to pray for him. And
we've been praying for you also, for a while.
Yeah, I believe that.
We've been
for
praying
sure.
For a lot of people. We're all praying for our families, Ben. You know, yeah. Single you out, you know. That particular night, though, that was pretty awesome what we did. So, but that was the first, like, answered prayer, and it was, like, the next day. So that was pretty cool how fast God worked in that. But,
yeah.
You know, the scriptures do say that nobody can come to the Father except through Jesus, and nobody can come to Jesus unless the Father draweth them. You know, you can't make somebody believe, you can't make somebody, you know, understand what you understand. It's the work of God in a person's life, you know.
Amen. So
amen.
That's really, you know, that's why our prayers are important. I think that's what everyone's saying, is God hears our heart for somebody and he uses our prayers.
I agree.
You wouldn't be here otherwise.
Exactly.
Yeah. Lord bless you.
Thank you. Thank you everyone for doing that. Best thing that ever happened.
All right, Malcolm.
Where'd thanks, he go? Michael.
Yes, sir.
I went hither and yon. I just wanted to say something about. Oh, by the way, remember? Some of you may remember. I know. Rhiannon and Claire's children prayed for our horse. It was. She couldn't see, and actually she couldn't hear either very well. You'd be surprised if you get right close to her. But anyway, she's been very excited. that I need to post this in the signal group too, but anyway, our horse is, Polly's been seen much, much better, able to, you know, before she runs into something, she'll see it and whatnot. So she's doing so much better. Also, her hearing is really good. And so anyway, just praise God for that healing and restoration. Also, I wanted to mention the same horse, Holly, what she does if, say, we have a water trough full of water. She'll come over to the water trough and grab it with her teeth on the edge of the trough and then just flip the whole thing over, water and all. So that's, you know, you have to be careful. If you lead your horse to water, they may flip the water out.
Amen.
It's really frustrating because we're low on, we don't, I have, you know, our well doesn't produce enough water usually to keep us going. So I have to go, you know, to some neighbors quite a little ways away to get water. So it's kind of frustrating for me to fill up the water trough and then watch her flip it. Anyway.
Amen.
You're going to have to teach your horse how to fish then.
Oh, Benjamin.
She's a funny horse. Anyway, yeah, our other horse likes to rub his nose against the water trough, and sometimes that knocks a little bit. But Holly's pretty good at flipping the water over and knocking it over, and she likes to play with it.
Okay, go ahead, Theo or Lana.
Yes, I had a praise prayer request, and it's concerning some bolts. I know the Lord can make anything appear out of thin air, like puzzle pieces with Claire and keys and wallets and all kinds of things. So thank you, Lord, that David and Elaine are going to see those bolts for that baby bed, that you already have an angel finding them out of that box wherever they are, and they're going to be in plain sight, and they're going to put that bed together, and the baby's going to get a good night's sleep. And I praise you for it, Father. Amen.
Amen. We agree with that. What's your name, Theo? In Jesus' name, and we thank you, Father, for finding those bolts, putting them out there where David or Elena can see them readily. In Jesus' name, and that baby, Abigail, will get to sleep real good tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? Okay, we're on page 74 in the Word, Women, and Authority. All right. Give me a thumbs up if you're there. Is everybody there?
What page again, Michael?
74, right down at the bottom. 1 Timothy 2:15. Okay. Everybody ready? Okay. 1 Timothy 2:15, but she shall be saved through her childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and sanctification. This is the Greek word hagiosmos, and it is the believer being progressively transformed by the Lord into his likeness or similarity of nature with sobriety. She's putting faith and love into that child. She's showing them what love is like and what godliness is all about. You know, back then, all the women wanted children. But today, a lot of women are almost obsessed with being independent, and they just want to do their own thing. They just want their own pleasure. But God, in the scriptures, teaches us that he wants a godly seed. He seeks a godly seed. And if a godly woman continues in faith and love and sanctification with sobriety, this will help her to seek the betterment of her children and her husband and so forth. God is so good. Now, let's go a little bit in a different direction here. I mentioned earlier that God wasn't making a law about what jewelry a woman is allowed to wear. But there are lots of people who do like to make their own laws about that, not just about jewelry, but hairstyles and clothing and shoes and on and on. Now, that's legalism, and it's going beyond the scriptures, which we're warned not to do. 1 Corinthians 4 and 6. That in us you might learn not to go beyond the things which are written, that no one of you be puffed up for the one against the other. Remember that there's a curse for going beyond the scriptures in Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Galatians 5 and verse 1 says, for freedom did Christ set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. You know what that yoke of bondage was? Because if you look at the text, Paul is talking about the law, law, law. It's bondage. You have to do this or you have to do that. You're justified by doing this. You're justified by doing that. And if you don't do this, well, you're going to get in trouble. Paul is telling them, don't go back under the law. This is not making you pleasing unto God. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 2 says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you receive circumcision, Christ will profit you nothing. Why? Because it was the law. And no one will be justified by the law. Those Galatians were claiming to be justified because of the law. They didn't understand that the law was just a tutor. And it came in because of lawlessness to control men until the seed should come to whom the promise is due. Galatians 3:19. What then is the law? It was added because of transgressions. That word, the Greek parabasis, in the New Testament refers to the willful disregard or breaking of God's law, which defies his drawn lines or boundaries, an arrogant overstepping. And it goes on and says, till the seed should come to whom the promise hath been made, and it was ordained through angels by the hand of a mediator. And of course, that seed was Jesus Christ, and he brought grace. And this is how God wants to change you, through grace. Not through rules, not through regulations and so on. Folks, a person who loves the Lord, when they read things that are good, they want to do them. They want to be pleasing unto the Lord. It's not a rule held over their head. A different relationship with God is what it teaches here in Galatians. And you could replace circumcision with any other ceremonial law, and you would still be in the same situation. For instance, if you receive the Old Testament Sabbath, and you have to do that to be justified, or the tithe, and you have to do that to be justified, you're doing the same thing. You're taking an Old Testament law and dragging it into the New Testament because you're seeking to be justified by your own works. And you're using that to look down on your brother or sister who's not doing it. That's a stench in God's nostrils. So Christ will profit you nothing if you seek to be justified by the law. Galatians 5 and 3. Yea, I testify again to every man that receives circumcision that he is a debtor to do the whole law. That means if you make a law about something in order to feel justified by keeping that law, and then you put everybody else under that law, you're in error. You're bringing a curse on yourself and everybody else under that law, because if you're going to be justified by the law, you have to keep that whole law. You have to keep every single point of the whole law. That's what the Bible says in Galatians 3 and 10. For as many as are the works of the law, and that word "the" is not in the original manuscript. So in this case, it could be any works of man's law too. The works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who continues not in all things. There it is. You have to keep every jot and tittle that are written in the book of the law to do them. 11. Now that no man is justified by the law. Again, that "the" is not in the original manuscript either. Before God is evident, for the righteous shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but he that doeth them shall live in them. So now we can return to chapter 5 in Galatians. Verse 4, ye are severed from Christ, ye who would be justified by the law, ye are fallen away from grace. If you're under laws, you're not under grace. For we through the Spirit, for we through the Spirit by faith wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith working through love. Verse 7, you were running well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion came not of him that calls you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. David said, that's very true. Is there any questions or any comments on what we just read? All right, who wants to read next? One at a time, one at a time. Go ahead, Missy.
The second church I went to called themselves a holiness Pentecostal church, and Pentecostal means those who believe in the gifts, which they rightly should believe in because everybody needs the gifts. However, we don't need to be legalistic for self-justification, nor should we be looking down on anybody else if they don't have the gifts. But these people made it a law that you had to speak in tongues. Of course, I believe in speaking in tongues, and I believe that when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, the most common evidence, if not totally common in all things, is speaking in tongues. It's a very important gift, so I'm not disputing what they say there, but I'm coming against their Pharisaical attitude. When I first went to this church, I went there because I wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they believed in that. And they did pray with me for that. I wanted to know more about God, and I was ready to please God in any way I could please God. So I paid attention to these folks. And at first, I didn't realize what I was seeing. These people were holy, except they didn't know what holy was. Holiness, which is the same word for sanctification, is separation from sin unto God. And sin is delineated by the Bible. We can't go above or below that. Sin is described by the Bible. And we've seen if you add to or take away from the Bible, that is sin. You're in error. One thing, you're in self-justification because you're going under legalism. Now, there are a lot of people who will tell you that, who will tell you what is holy. But if they tell you more than what the Bible tells you is holy, they're wrong. And if they tell you less than what the Bible tells you is holy, they're wrong. And if they describe holiness as something that you wear, they're wrong again. Holiness, the Greek hagios, is defined as likeness of nature with the Lord, set apart, different from the world. It's a separation from sin. Can what you wear be sin? Of course it can, because you could be tempting everybody with what you're wearing and causing people to stumble. If you have any love for the brethren, you don't want to do that. Galatians 3:1. O foolish Galatians, who did bewitch you, before whose eyes Jesus was openly set forth crucified? This only what I learned from you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of law. And again, there's no numeric pattern in the word the. Again, there is no numeric pattern in the word the. So it shouldn't be there. Or by the hearing of faith. Yes, faith is what gives you everything from God. Not, I'm going to show you how good I'm going to be, God. I'm going to pick myself up by my bootstraps and you're going to be proud of me and you're going to accept me. No, that's pure legalism and it's a stench in God's nostrils. It separates you from Christ because you're not going to get grace for your self-works. But the law was based on self-works, which is only the strength of man. You see, the law was just a symbol that led to grace. God's plan all along was grace. His plan was born again, people of God, born from heaven, people of God. This was his plan all along. The letter of the Old Testament was not God's plan. No, that was just a meantime thing, according to what Galatians says, until the seed should come to whom the promise is due. That's all it was.
Okay, let's talk just a minute about this. Okay. All right. What is acceptable and what is not acceptable as far as women and men to wear? That's an easy question.
Well, for one, women wears women clothes and men wear men clothes.
Well, that's a good start anyway. Praise God. It's a really good start. Yes, Julie.
I would say what is comfortable on you, what you feel good wearing and looks appropriate. It doesn't show, like, I think David's already covered this, or maybe I read it already, but, you know, it's not showing too much skin. It doesn't fit too tightly. There's all kinds of, you know, fashion things out there nowadays. You got to be real careful, but, you know, it's just simple. I just, you know, Lord put it in my heart what I should wear, you know. It's like, you know, I'm not a fashion expert and I never was, you know, but it's like, I just wanted to, wear something that I felt looked good on me, but wasn't, you know, revealing or too tight or too big or baggy or, you know, God will show you what it is and what it isn't. And, you know, if you feel uncomfortable in it yourself or you think it's, if you think it's too low cut or too high on the leg, it probably is. So, you know, just ask the Lord. He'll show you.
Okay. All right, Claire.
You know, Michael, it would be amiss to not give an example about this. I will. It was a few years ago now, maybe 5-6 years ago, and we had moved to Rosebery, and there was this mine manager and his wife, and they, you know, they were professing Christians and whatnot, but these were the guys who initially just really took us to town. Like it was amazing, the persecution that came from that. And we didn't know it was coming, and we were, you know, just trying to be nice. And we had him over for dinner one night. And I remember dressing up for dinner. So listen to what I was wearing. It's so dressed up. I had a collared shirt on, like a long-sleeved collared shirt on with jeans, which tells you what I normally look like. But anyway, so... And it was buttoned up, like as much as what it can be buttoned up without it being buttoned all the way kind of thing. You know, your collared shirt can go right up. And anyway, it was still probably March, so it was still temperate weather. And this lady walked over to me. She was younger than me as well, walked over to me and buttoned up the next button and kind of gave me a little pat on the chest and said, "There you go. Well, Jesus was there that day, because had that been a few years prior, I wouldn't have had any hands left." And so what I'm saying is, for a legalistic person, like, you can never wear enough clothing. Never.
So what would you say?
If your heart doesn't condemn you, wear it.
There you go. That was what I was looking for. If your conscience doesn't bother you, wear it. Until this lady comes up, of course, yeah.
Then you better run.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, I feel I have to say, you know, like Julie was saying, you know, that's just not for ladies, okay? It's for guys too. You know, you shouldn't be, well, you know, in nature, the birds are really colorful, are the males, and you don't want to be that colorful. So that's all I have to say. You don't have to show off. Yeah, I just... That's all I'm going to say to that.
Well, Andrew, the next are you saying question, I can't wear bright colors in here?
Well, I was going to ask you, so who sets the standard on what is bright colors and things?
Well, no, I'm not saying bright colors. I'm talking more so like, you know, you don't want a shirt that would show off a man's body either.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
A woman could be tempted just as much, you know. Some guys, you know, like they like going working out in the gym, and you know, I don't know. I'm just saying that it could be that way too, you know. Like,
yeah,
they spend a lot of time in that gym, and they want to show it, you know. And
I never had that problem.
Both ways. That's all I'm saying.
I never had enough time to spend in the gym, so I didn't have that problem. Yeah,
I don't think guys like to wear tight pants, but I've seen some weird stuff on the bus, and I don't even want to describe it to you.
And Walmart, too.
Yeah.
All right, Missy, go ahead.
Well, you know, like, to go along with what Andrew's saying, maybe I can describe it maybe a little bit more. Like he's saying, you know, somebody, a man, for instance, that likes to work out, you know, and he likes to have all these muscles, you know, there are guys, you know, that will wear tight t-shirts and tight pants to show their muscles. Just saying, you know, that's not, that's but anyway.
Well, should they wear overalls?
Well, they don't have to wear tight clothing. Same as women, you know, yeah. Shouldn't wear tight clothing.
Amen.
To show every curve of their body, or, you know, for a woman, in every curve or every muscle of a man's body, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Now that we got that settled. Go ahead, Missy.
Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now perfected in the flesh? Paul is talking about law here. because that's what it is, being perfected by your works through the strength of your flesh. Oh, I do this and I do that. And look at me, I'm holy. Did you suffer so many things in vain? If it be indeed in vain, he therefore that supplies to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. So Abraham was reckoned to be righteous apart from his works because he believed God. He believed in the sanctification that's freely given by God. Galatians 3:7. Know therefore that they that are of faith, the same are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So they that are of faith are blessed with the faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law, this is another place where the was added, but it's not in the original. Law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Now that no man is justified by the, this is not in the original, law before God is evident, for the righteous shall live by faith. The literal translation should be from faith. And the, that's not in the original. Law is not of faith, but he that does them shall live in them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Then Paul goes on to talk about the self-justification of law, which can be the law of the Old Testament and includes the law as mentioned in the Psalms, John 10:34. Even though some people don't think Psalms comes under the definition of law, Galatians 3:23. But before faith came, we were kept in ward under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. So that the law is become our tutor to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith is come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So sons of God are people who are justified by faith and not law. While people that are under the law are not sons of God, but children. Galatians 4:1. But I say that so long as the heir is a child, he differs nothing from a bondservant, though he is Lord of all. In other words, these people are servants. A child is a servant, because Proverbs 29:21, he that delicately brings up his servant from a child shall have him become a son at the last. That's the desire of God, to raise up a son of God in the image of the Son of God. If you're a child, you're just a bondservant. You're under the law. You're under rules and regulations. You have to tell children what to do and what not to do. And they just obey you because you're mom or dad. You tell your child, don't touch that. Don't do this. Don't do that. But when they grow up, they do it naturally. And it's not a law for them. They just do it naturally. And they end up being like you. It's grace. Okay, I'll stop reading there. Somebody else can read now.
Okay. Anybody else want to read? Well, thank you, Benita.
You knew I was thinking it.
Well, sure.
Okay. Galatians, can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Galatians 4:1. But I say that so long as the heir is a child, he differeth nothing from a bondservant, though he is Lord of all. But it is under guardians and stewards until the day appointed of the Father. So we also, when we were children, were held in bondage under the rudiments of the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law. Did Jesus come to redeem you from being under law? Yes, he did, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Amen. The whole purpose of your redemption is that you would become a son of God. Poor Jesus. He drank wine and they jumped on him. Luke 7:34. And he ate corn in the field and they jumped on him. Mark 2:23-24. And they jumped on him for all the laws. Matthew 15:2-3. Mark 7:5. And complained, you're not keeping the Sabbath, and so on. But Jesus said, Luke 6:5, unto them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. That means if you're following in Jesus' footsteps, you are separating yourself from the law and you are keeping the Sabbath because you're ceasing from your own works. So Paul rebuked these children for going back under the law. Galatians 4:17. They zealously seek you in no good way. Nay, they desire to shut you out that ye may seek them. This is happening today. There are lots of churches with people who want you to follow in their steps. You have to be like us. They want you to look like them, talk them, dress like them. And if you don't, they'll ostracize you. That first church I went to was Baptist, and I could see that they weren't believing all the word of God. They were picking and choosing, and they had no real grace to enter into all that God wants to give. So I quickly left and went to a full gospel church, which taught the gifts of the Spirit and so on. I was a baby Christian, but I was reading the Bible day and night. Nobody had to tell me God was a miracle worker, was a miracle working God, because I experienced that before I even went to any church. But I wanted to go see what my brethren were doing. In some cases, that was a mistake. Anyway, when I went to this church, they spoke about holiness, but it wasn't a holiness of the heart and of coming into alignment with the scriptures. It was, I do this and I do that and I don't do that. Some say, oh, we don't drink coffee. Some say, we don't drink Cokes. Some said, we wear long dresses because they're modest. But back in the times of Jesus, women didn't wear dresses like these Pentecostal women did. That was their mistake, folks, because they described what modesty was outside of the scriptures. Not that a long dress isn't modest, it is. But when you make it a rule, you're adding to the word of God. The scriptures do say modesty, but when you tell people what modesty is, that's when you're getting legalistic. The word of God was designed to go around the world in every culture. And for that reason, we don't see set rules in the scriptures about what modest dress is. Modesty is just that you're not trying to show off yourself. You're not trying to show off your body to somebody else for a bad reason. Let me pause there. Anybody have any questions? Andrew?
Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, we used to have some people, they were brethren. This is when I lived out in the country. We went to a small country church, Church of God. And his wife was always dressed in this big, long dress, you know. And you know, no one said anything to her about that, you know. But, you know, she would come searching for spiritual gifts, I guess, with her husband, and we befriended them, and you know, you get the little kiddie pool in the backyard. She had a daughter about the same age as my daughter was at the time, and they would even go swimming fully clothed in the swimming pool. And I would look at this and I'd say, well, you know, that I can see modesty, but I wasn't really that learned about this kind of stuff. I can see modesty in this, but that's just taking it to a whole different level there. And, you know, these people came over one time when we moved away back into the city. They came over one time. And, of course, you know, we didn't see them for a while, so we were going to do a real nice dinner for them, you know, set the table, and I was going to put a tablecloth down. And putting this tablecloth was a no-no. They didn't want a tablecloth on the table. You know? And then I said, but I'm doing this for you guys, you know. And then, of course, you know, I said, that's fine with me. We'll put the tablecloth away and put it back in.
The table was naked.
Yeah, and then I said, what about these placemats? You know, they were nice placemats. You can put the plate on it, you know. And then they said, oh, no, that's too much. You know, just put the plates on the table. And I said, okay, we'll do that, you know. Nice, you know, and set the table. And then, of course, you get the two girls and say, hey, here's all the forks and knives. Put them where they're supposed to go. We had some nice fellowship. So, and then they were mentioning something about there's one thing you should never do is take a stick and put it under your nose. And I was going, okay, I'm going to have to look that one up. Okay.
What scripture is that in?
I don't know, man. I did look it up. I did know it once, but now I don't know it anymore. So I have to go look it up in my coordinates, but I don't need to do that. I don't need to find that out anymore because these people aren't around anymore. But, you know, they were very conservative, very polite, very good with their voice, but they were searching for more, you know. And they had a daughter that was an older daughter that rebelled against all of this and left the house. And so that just goes to show, you know, even with this modesty that these people encounter things that would be very sorrowful to see their daughter, their teenage daughter leave the house. I didn't know the full story and I didn't want to ask about that either. Anyway, there are so many different types of people that you can run into.
Amen.
Yeah. And then you get all the worldly types of people too. Which have a completely different demeanor or behavior, you know. Anyway, I'm sure everyone knows that. It's the bigger the city you live in, the more you'll run into these people. Anyway, praise God.
Well, we have a group of people here that don't have electricity because that's not of God. They don't ride it. They don't have cars. They farm with horses, and they build houses and barns and everything else, but they use a generator to run a saw to cut the wood that is run by electricity. David, look, they're good people. I love them. David and I both do. One time we was down there, one of our friends down there, we were at his house one day, David and I was, and he had 2 5-gallon buckets in his hand and he was carrying in there to put in to so one of the kids could take a bath. And David told him, and he mentioned his name, he said, hey, I got an idea. Why don't you put your shower thing down below here and put your bucket up here, warm it up, and then you can take a shower down there and it all be hot, you know? He said, that's what these are for. And he was talking about his arms, you know? And so Dave said, okay. It's just stuff that doesn't make any sense. It's just they're under the law. And we've been praying for them. That's what you do. You just pray for them. You're stupid stuff. Okay. Anybody else got a
question, Michael? What you just described, is that like people who are stuck in like their traditions, their religious traditions, and the way we used to do things 120 years ago?
Yeah.
That's the way our grandparents did it, so that's the way we still do it kind of thing. And well, just don't get caught up with all the you know, the 21st century, and hey, we got technology and to make your life a little easier, better, and you know, however that works.
Well, that's like we've got one denomination that says that you can't have music, that's of the devil, in the church.
You can't have music?
Music or instruments.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Did they read the Psalms?
No, I guess not.
The Old Testament?
I guess not. That's funny. Well, that's Old Testament. That's not the New Covenant. You know, I don't know. But here's the hypocrisy of the whole thing. They will teach their children how to sound like a flute or a saxophone or a, I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. I've heard them. And a cornet. And a drum.
How do you do that?
That's how you do a drum. Now, how you do a cornet, you know, whatever it is, you know, that's what they do. I'll tell you, they sound like a symphony orchestra. It's Church of Christ. They'll do that. But they won't allow musical instruments in that. Now, what do you think that is? What is the person? When I'm singing out of my mouth, I'm a musical instrument. Well, when I sing out, it maybe it's not that way. Anyway. All right. Yes, Theo.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Lana.
I just wanted to mention, when I was really young, I actually, my grandfather's church was that way, where music was a no-no. It was just vocal singing, and that was it. But we did not try to mimic instruments. We did not go that far. And I also thought it was very interesting, speaking of the Amish, the old order Amish who do not use electricity of any sort, or so they attempt to stick to that law. I had watched a documentary, and the Mennonites, who are the more modern people, usually think that the Mennonites came out of the Amish because the Amish are the ones that are so old world and old school, where technically the Mennonites were the original denomination. And it was the Amish who came out of the Mennonites and chose a more conservative, more stricter, more legalistic lifestyle. So it's the other way around. And it's amazing what the enemy can do to confuse people and take them out of one legalistic mindset and put them into one that's twice as bad. But people just want to justify themselves, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, they want to. Well, I'm this way. You ought to come join us. Why do you think that we have 500 different types of Baptist church? I mean, we got that in this town here. We got a different kind of Baptist church on every corner. Well, duh. What? Why? They all think basically the same thing. I never have understood that, but, you know. Yeah, go ahead, Malcolm.
Interesting discussion. I think that there's a term for folks that that get dissatisfied. I mean, this has happened with the Mormons as well. When the government, U.S. government, puts so much pressure on them to drop polygamy in exchange for, you know, carrots of the federal government offers all the money that they so kindly appropriate from us. A lot of these groups have dropped, and that's why the fundamental, you know, groups from the Mormon Church are separated away from the Mother Church because it had gone liberal and capitulated to the government. So that's why you have, you know, groups out in Mexico, that folks that moved down there so they could practice polygamy and be true to Joseph Smith. But this happens, you know, throughout, I think, probably all the denominations. The fundamentalists, people that come out, ostensibly they want to do the right thing, but they are, you know, just like we've been discussing here, they just end up being quite legalistic. And that's how you get saved, is by doing it better, doing it more, getting more laws, and tying yourself down more and more so you can't move. And this, of course, happens in Islam and Hinduism and Buddhism, all these religions. This whole fundamentalist phenomena that happens.
Amen. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, I don't want to offend anyone out there who might be offhand listening, but even with the circumcision thing, you know that would happen during the Second World War, that some people were still circumcised, males in the flesh, and they actually even used this as a way of identifying, you know, and some people actually use uncircumcision as a religious thing now too.
I didn't know that.
You can you have some people who say who still use that as a means of putting people under a law that you should not be circumcised.
Well, how are you going to keep them doing that? I mean, you know, when you're a baby.
Yeah, you know, but you know, when you look at 6:15 and 6:16 of Galatians, it says it either way there. Whether you be circumcised or uncircumcised, it's not that, you know. He already said that verse, and you read it in the book here. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything but the new creature. And I can't remember the rest of the verse, but it's something like that anyway. So there are these items in certain circles of Catholicism, even, that believe that. So I'm just saying, you know, and there's a lot of other things I've heard about circumcision that I don't care to even discuss.
Oh boy, it gets a little wilder, doesn't it? It's wild, this religiosity that we're seeing around us. Okay, go ahead, Benita, or we get into something else here.
Okay. At this full gospel church, I found out just how holy these people were. First of all, they swore off practically everything except for eating. They ate a lot. They ate a lot, and that was their big sin. Also, most of the women dressed rather prudishly, but though they wore long dresses, you could see everything, for goodness sake. Their clothing was too tight to be modest. Even when it reached the floor, it wasn't modest. And there was a pharisaical attitude there that demanded you had to be like them. They shut you out so that you would seek them. You had to come under their terms to come into their assembly, and their terms were that you had to look like them. You know, when the Bible says that women should wear long hair, it means exactly that. But when some church tells you how long, that's getting out of line. And when they tell you that you can't ever cut your hair, when the Bible doesn't say that, that's legalism. They are basically shut you out until you conform to them so that you can come under their inner circle. This is the way legalism works, and that's why it's written here. They zealously seek you in no good way. Nay, they desire to shut you out that you may seek them. They want you following after them to find out what holiness is. They want you to ask them, show me what holiness is. Read your Bible. They didn't. What these people had rather than holiness was the self-righteousness of the Pharisees. And right down the road, there was a church of another denomination that believed exactly everything this denomination believed, except for one thing. Their men were more holy because they wore long sleeves everywhere. How ridiculous. I can't imagine any fisherman in Jesus' time wearing long sleeves out there on the boats. Jesus didn't say that and Jesus didn't teach that, and he didn't preach long dresses to the ground either. Are long dresses modest? Yes, generally they are, but it is their attitude that made it wrong and evil and self-righteous before God.
Amen.
Now I'm...
No, keep going, I'm sorry.
Okay. Now I'm going to tell you what the Lord said to my wife when we came out of that church. First, we received a dream about going to Galatia, and we figured out that the Lord was warning legalism, legalism. My wife was conformed to the church at that time. She looked just like them, just as prudish as they looked. And when the Lord spoke to her, he said, I want you to change the way you dress. She said, why, Lord? And he said, for my people. So she asked, oh, what does that mean, Lord? Show me. And the Lord told her he didn't want her wearing those dresses to the ground, and especially not when they matched her head covering. That looked really prudish and like she belonged to some cult. Honestly, folks, a lot of women in America are vain. If they see a woman dressed like a member of some extreme cult, she can't say to them, I want to teach you the scriptures, but first you need to look like me. Because when they look at her, they're going to say, oh my God, I'm getting out of here. And the husband is going to agree, yeah, let's get out of here. That's what we learn when God is saying, for my people. He didn't want my life looking so prudish because she was scaring the women and the men. He didn't want that. That's what Paul preached. To the weak, I became weak that I might gain the weak. I am become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. We are to be weak to the weak without being weak to God. He said that the reason we do this is for all men, for their sake, to get down on their level. Any questions? I'm not talking about being unholy. I'm talking.
Well, hang on a minute. Andrew's got a question and Claire's got a question.
Sorry. I didn't see that.
Go ahead, Andrew.
I thought Claire was going to go first. Mine was just to say that, you know, when the fishermen in the last chapter of John were in the boat, the apostle Peter had no shirt on. And then he saw Jesus on the shore. Actually, he was told by, I think, his brother or by John that it's Jesus. And then he picked up his shirt, put it on, and dove in the water. So, you know, usually you wouldn't put your shirt on to dive in the water. You know? So that's kind of weird, you know, that he would actually clothe himself. And even with wet clothing, go and meet Jesus, you know. And of course, he pulled the fishes off to the shore there. I think that's where he did that anyway. So I just wanted to mention that.
Go ahead, Claire.
I just wanted to share this thing that happened here. So obviously, I'm not Australian and grew up differently and whatnot. But at one point, in this little town, there were a few South Africans, and a lot of these South African ladies would go to like a mom's group in the morning with the locals. Okay. because there's a lot of mining in South Africa, a lot of mining in Australia, and so there's lots of transport and mixing of folks between. And because I didn't go to these moms groups, like I didn't know what was happening. But then a mom was talking around me one day, not realizing maybe that I was South African, and she really laid in to about the other mummies. And the reason was the South African mummies, when they wake up in the morning, they get dressed. But the mummies in this town, the local moms, like they wake up in the morning and they put their workout clothes on. Athleisure clothing apparently is what it's called, and it's a thing. Like people will just wear their workout clothes all day long. And so when they went to these mummy groups, then there'd be this contention because you've got all these what they thought were prissy moms, you know, like wearing jeans and a t-shirt with their hair back, versus the mom who's got on her workout clothes. And this caused like serious contention amongst the mothers here. And this is like not okay, this is also not like a church mom's group, just to be sure. This is just a normal, you know, somewhere where the kids can play for an hour. But I just thought, wow, that I never even considered that that would be something that people would be offended about or whatever. And so this kind of stuff like will happen all the time. It happens in religious circles. It happens in secular circles. And I think it's because everyone has that need to be accepted and everyone's walking around with rejection, right? So we just really have to be super loving, I think. Yeah. And sometimes I will go out with my, with like workout clothes on. And I'm like, okay, these pants are probably too tight, but the rest of the town looks like this. This is what they look like. So if I go and buy some bread and milk, I'm almost like being like Paul, like conforming myself to what their normal is. And there's grace in that. Like, I don't think if they were wearing something like bikinis, well, I think the Lord would maybe put it in my head to not. But I think, do you know what I mean? Like, I think we've got to do what, wherever the Lord has placed you, he's going to give you the grace to connect with the people there, is what I'm realizing. So.
Amen. I believe that. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, if you think about it, the reason why Peter took his shirt off, it's because he's on the boat with all these guys and you can get all sweaty anyway. And he's going to have a dirty shirt and he wanted a fresh shirt after the job was done fishing or whatever. That's what I think happened there. So.
I think he put on his polo shirt after he got back on.
Yeah. On the beach. Polo shirt on and he swam short to go see. Yeah.
Amen.
But he wanted a fresh shirt. Doing laundry back then must have been a real big chore. you just don't go throw it in the machine and push the button.
No, I had to beat him on a rock or something. Okay, Benita. I'll tell you what. Let's see if somebody else wants. Anybody else want to read for a few minutes? Yeah, go ahead, Barry.
Not sure.
So we were at, I'm not talking about being unholy. So I think that's where we're starting. I'm not talking about being unholy. I'm talking about not preaching over somebody's head, but getting down on their level. And then lifting them up slowly, gradually. It's not possible for them to take it all in all at once. They'll choke on it. Well, people like self-justification. They're looking for something that they can do to be acceptable to God, which is a false gospel. And all those people talked about at that full gospel church was what they do. Some of them were holier than the next person because they didn't drink soda pop. There are even some groups like that were the women don't shave under their arms. Quite a few of them don't shave their legs. That's one reason they wear long dresses, because as they become more and more holy, they become hairier and hairier. Galatians 4:17, they zealously seek you in no good way. Nay, they desire to shut you out that you may seek them. They seek you out. Paul is saying that this wasn't a good thing. And if you do follow after them, you'll end up looking like a as big of a Pharisee as they looked, but it is good to be zealously sought in a good matter at all times, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I am again in travail until Christ be formed in you, why, as Christians, were they separated from Christ? Because they were going back under the law, and we just read that when that happens, as in Galatians 5:4, ye are severed from Christ, ye who would be justified by the law, ye are fallen away from grace. It's the same today. If you seek to be justified by the law or by any law of man, you're separated, you're cut off from Christ. Galatians 4:19, my little children, of whom I am again in travail until Christ be formed in you. But I could wish to be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the handmaid and one by the free woman. So you're going to end up bringing forth the fruit of either Ishmael or Isaac. Howbeit, the son by the handmaid is born after the flesh. The handmaid was Hagar. Howbeit, the son by the handmaid is born after the flesh. Yes, Abraham was seeking to be justified by God through his own works. Instead of waiting for God to do it in him, he was going to do it himself. That's the law right there. But the son by the free woman, Sarah, is born through promise, which things contain an allegory. For these women are two covenants, one from Mount Sinai, bearing children under bondage, the law is bondage, which is Hagar. If you go into bondage to these people, to their rules and regulations and laws, they'll make you worse and worse. They'll make you a stench in God's nostrils because you're seeking to be justified by doing this and doing that, instead of accepting that you're justified by what God did at the cross. Galatians 4:25. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and it answereth to the Jerusalem that now is, for she is in bondage with her children. In other words, natural Jerusalem was in bondage with her children in that day, and natural Jerusalem is still in bondage today. They're not the chosen people of God. In the New Testament, you have to be born again to be chosen people of God. Jesus told Nicodemus, a Jew, in John 3:3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He must be born again.
Let's stop there. Thank you. We'll continue there Thursday, I guess. No, Thursday is Thursday. Amen. Okay. Anybody got any questions or comments on any of what Barry just got through? I guess the hairier you are in some of these denominations, the more holy you are. I'm just saying. That's some of the silliest, outlandish things that I've ever heard. But that's the way it is. How many of you women are holy out there? Let me see. Not by that standard. Yes, go ahead, Pat.
So I guess I have a question. Maybe I got lost in the sauce here, but so we took a tangent of being, you know, holiness and you know, righteousness, self-righteousness, etc., under the law, and you know, the sounds like my ears are going. So my question, I guess, is how does this apply to the word women and authority? Did we just take a tangent on this or what?
No, he's just pointing out the irregularities in different denominations of women's dress and men's dress, which goes back to the same thing, actually. It's just part of it. Under the law. You're under the law when you're, you know, doing things. Yeah, Judy.
What I was getting out of that is got to really be careful about religious spirits, people who are very religious, that they want to be justified not by faith and what, you know, faith, just the gospel, what Jesus did for me. It's like, we do this, we do that, we do this, we do that. And David was just, you know, giving experience from his firsthand experience of what these places who thought they were holy and righteous and all these things by how they, what they did, you know, kind of thing. And it's a trap. I mean, I've fallen into religious thinking, you know, it's and sometimes it's the one church, and I was out here where, you know, when I got saved and started going back to church and stuff, that's where the Lord had me and stuff. But I started, you know, I look back and I was starting to sound like that church. You know, I was starting to sound like, this is what we do, and this is, we have this and we have that. And, you know, coming out of it and looking back, I realized that that is a religious spirit. It's a religious spirit. We had such great music and we had this and we do that, and come to my church and because we do this, and come to my church. Oh, you got to hear this. He's on this teaching series right now about blah, blah, blah. You've got to listen. I mean, it's just, there's a spirit, and you can get sucked into that. You can, it's a deceptive thing. Religious is very, those religious spirits of legalism and whatever it may be, it's very subtle on how they can get you sucked in there. Because you want to feel good about what you're doing for the Lord. You know, yeah. We all do. You know, children want to please their
in the flesh.
Father. Yeah. So it's kind of as bondage, as a trap. You know. And it's easy to fall into Galatia. Oh, foolish Galatians, who did bewitch you? You know, when you look up that word bewitched, you know, it's you know, it's mesmerizing. Oh, you know, you get all caught up in supernatural. They want to say that it's kind of like the false spirit, you know, the false revival spirits and stuff. You know, it's just very misleading if you're not seeking after the Lord. You fall into idolatry of some sort. Religion can be an idolatry, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Now then, has everybody thought about what you want to pray about and believe about? And we all come together and do the same thing. Something that is going to be very telling. Any suggestions? Yes, Julie.
Do you see what I put in the chat initially when you first asked the question?
Moral of the story, always wear coveralls.
That wasn't me. I'll say it. I want to pray what I've been praying. A lot of us are praying about it anyways, about, you know, our brothers and sisters who are caught up in faction, the elect of them, that, you know, they'll start, that we'll see the fruit of them repenting and coming back before the end of the year.
Okay. Yeah. You know, that entered my, I have one particular person in mind, but yes. Let's do it this way. As far as the faction goes, Lord, we thank you. Let's talk about the faction that have already factioned out, not the ones that are coming up, you know, because it's happening all the time. So that's a good one. Is that okay with everybody? We just believe that the faction from the outreach and the local that are God's elect come back from this date back, that you have appointed to come back. Does that sound reasonable to everybody? Now, would that be a miracle? Would that be a miracle?
They did it, even if we start to see the fruit of that before the end of the year, is, you know, I mean, God's not limited, and I don't want to put him in a box, or, you know, but it'd be really encouraging to see some of them starting to repent and hearing from them and, you know, wanting prayer or whatever before the end of the year.
I believe this. I believe whatever we pray, God's going to do it if we all believe. I believe that. It makes no difference the time frame. I believe the time frame we've allowed here is the end of the year, and that's fine. That's a month, what, 2 months? 2.5 months? Yeah, Missy.
Well, my thought is, if I remember correctly, David said that he believed that nobody would come back until the tribulation started or after the man child was anointed. Something to that effect. So my thought is what my very first thought was is, Lord, anoint your man child. You know, we all be ready and the man child be anointed before the end of the year. That was my heart right away.
Well, that would be good. But if we ask the Lord, if there is a deal that the man child would be the king, if the other was coming back, that would happen automatically, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, what do y'all want to do? The man child or the faction? I don't think it makes any difference to me.
It's you get the one, you get the other, either way.
Yeah, yep. You get one, you get both.
Let's go for it.
Okay, well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we put all of our faith together, Lord, and we believe that what we pray is going to happen because we trust you, that what your word says, and your word says when we pray and believe what we pray and believe that we have received, we shall have it. And in the name of Jesus, right now, I declare and decree that the elect out of the faction come back into the fold before the first of the year, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it. It makes no difference to me. If they are on their deathbed, that they will come back before the first of the year. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that our prayers are being answered even as we speak. And we ask that you send out your angels right now to start harvesting these factions, start working on their minds, start working on their spirits, doing whatever it is it takes to bring them in, Lord. And we ask that you grant repentance to them and bring them back in before the first of the year, before the first of the year of 2023. In Jesus' name. Does everybody believe that? Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. I want to see everybody's hand that believes that when we pray this prayer, after we pray this prayer, it's going to be in the works. Put your hand up or put your yellow hand up from the, yeah. I want to see that everybody understands that we're going to believe this. Okay, I don't see nothing from those who don't believe. You can leave your hands down. Okay, Josie and Malcolm, we don't have anything. They may not be listening. I know they believe, though. All right, there it is. Glory to God. I believe it now. We're going to just praise God every time we come together that he's doing it. And every time you're in your prayer closet, you're going to be doing it. And we're going to see a mighty miracle here. Amen, Josie. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Well, Lord, we just thank you for a wonderful night tonight. And we praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in us and your elect in the faction. They're not long, we're not going to any longer call them pikes, and they are redeemed by the blood of Christ. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, be with us until we meet again. Guide us, lead us, and direct our paths. And Lord, place it in our hearts to pray as much as we can and to be with you every day. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, all right. Y'all be blessed.